The reading today is Psalm 64. I'll give you a minute to find it. Hear me, O God, as I voice my complaint. Protect my life from the threat of the enemy. Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from that noisy crowd of evildoers. They sharpen their tongues like swords and aim their words like deadly arrows. They shoot from ambush at the innocent man, and they shoot at him suddenly without fear. They encourage each other in evil plans. They talk about hiding their snares. They say, "Who will see them?" They plot injustice and say, "We have devised a perfect plan. Surely the mind and heart of man are cunning." But God will shoot them with arrows. Suddenly they will be struck down. He will turn their own tongues against them and bring them to ruin. All who see them will shake their heads in scorn. All mankind will fear. They will proclaim the works of God and ponder what he has done. Let the righteous rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart praise him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for reading. Hello, and I'm Philip, in case you don't know me, but I'm one of the members of church here. And we're going to look at this psalm, which is, you might have thought as Oliver read it to us, quite a difficult psalm to look at, but hopefully you're going to learn something from it. But let's pray just before we do that. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look at this psalm together, that you'd help us to learn, teach us so that we may be better able to put our hope in you as we face many struggles in life today. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like lots of psalms, this psalm is a very personal psalm. So King David, who wrote it, King David in the Old Testament, he wrote it. And as he wrote it, he was quite worried and he was under attack. And as he writes, you can see there's, you know, he's not pretending, is he? He says to God how he feels. He's really honest about how he feels. Now, the circumstances for him meant physical danger, though, as we'll see, people were also actually saying quite nasty things about him. So though he was in physical danger, there's also this people talking about him and saying things about him. And although this psalm refers to a particular situation, I think we can look at it, and it's instructive for us to think about how we can respond when we're worried about all sorts of things, when we feel under attack in all sorts of different situations. So just as the psalm, David in the psalm is very honest, let's do that ourselves. Let's be honest about our personal feelings. Let's be quite personal. Let's ask ourselves, let me ask you, what are you afraid of? What sort of things worry you? Now, there'll be all sorts of things that we might think about, lots of things that different ones of us are anxious about, things that we worry about. And of course, the past 18 months have been terribly difficult for all of us in all sorts of different ways. COVID has been really scary for many people. It's been scary because you may have worried, or people have been worried about getting ill themselves, or worried about being in danger of dying. People have been worried about the risks to their family and their friends. I guess we've all been worried or anxious or not enjoyed loneliness and isolation. You know, many people have been really upset about missing out on lots of things. And then for many people, there have been real worries about money or worries about work. Or perhaps lots of you will think, you know, lots of people will have been worried about the effect that it have on their education or on future prospects. So all sorts of things that might have worried us just because of COVID. But of course, if any of those responses have been your experience, if you've been worried in any of those ways, what have you done? What have you done about it? And of course, there are lots of other concerns that, you know, we may have. All sorts of things. Maybe we may be worried about relationship issues, or we may be worried about illness or about disability. I guess, you know, some of you may be quite worried about A-level results and GCSE results coming up soon. there are all sorts of concerns, all sorts of things that we might be worried about, all sorts of difficulties that we face. And we may worry what other people think about us as well. You know, and of course, as a Christian, if you're a Christian, then there are particular pressures for you as well. Of course, in many parts of the world, there is open persecution. For us, perhaps, in England, it's a bit more subtle. The pressures are a bit more subtle, but we still face pressures of peer approval, maybe our friends or our family rejecting or ridiculing our beliefs. There may be pressures in the workplace, other family pressures, just because we're a Christian. Well, a psalm like this one tells us that it's okay to be really honest with God, to be honest, you know, not to pretend, but to be honest, and to tell God about our worries. And we can be honest about the dangers that we face, whether those are real dangers or imagined dangers that we fear. Because the enemy that you see, I mean, the psalm talks about an enemy, the enemy that for you might be unseen, or it might be much more obvious. So the psalm allows us to think about obvious physical dangers as well as more subtle attacks. So as we look at this psalm, we're going to look at it in two sections. The first bit is about help me, and the second section is hope for me. So first of all, help me, God. So if you look at the psalm, if you look at the first verse, David, in fact, the first couple of verses, he has three requests. He says to God, hear my voice, listen to me. So it says in verse 1, hear me, O God, as I voice my complaint. And then he asks God to protect him or to preserve his life, protect my life from the threat of the enemy. And then he asks God to hide him. So three things, listen to me, preserve me. Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from that noisy crowd of evildoers. So David, as he's writing this, he's in a real spot. He's really difficult spot. And he's afraid, he's anxious, and he's being attacked. And he really wants God to listen. You know, he wants God to listen to what his problem is. And he's feeling desperate, and he feels under threat. And for him, even his life feels in danger. And he thinks he needs to be able to hide away. But then we see that the attack isn't just physical danger. People are saying things that really hurt. So verses 3 and 4, they sharpen their tongues like swords. They aim their words like deadly arrows. They shoot from ambush at the innocent man. They shoot at him suddenly without fear. And what David experienced, we too can experience. And words can really be cutting, can't they? Cutting like an arrow that gets through the chink in your armor. These words are so hurtful and untrue, and they just get through your defenses. They really do hurt. But they are untrue, because as verse 4 says, they're shot at the person who's innocent or blameless. It's all lies and slander that people are saying. And it may be that we sometimes feel, or often feel, hurt by things other people say about us. And particularly, that's, I guess, so easy with social media for people to attack other people. And then we read that the psalmist, that David, he feels that he's going to be tripped up, he's going to be ambushed. He says that snares and secret traps that are well hidden, so his enemies have laid traps and they're really well hidden so that no one can see them, and he's worried that they're going to catch him. So verse 5, they encourage each other in their evil plans. They talk about hiding their snares or their traps, and they say, who's going to see them? And it's easy, too, for us to think that we're going to be tripped up, that others are out to get us, to trap us in some way. And, of course, that's a very real experience for Christians in lots of countries. So in India, for example, there are some hardline Hindu groups who falsely accuse Christians who evangelize. They say, they accuse the Christians of using methods that are illegal in that country. So they say, oh yeah, they're using fraud or force or allurement. You know, they're forcing people to become Christian, or they're paying them money or giving them special things, and that's illegal. Now, the Christians aren't doing that, but the people who want to get them are saying things about them that are untrue. They're trying to set traps, trying to ambush the Christians. And of course, behavior like that, however it is just unfair. That's what the end of verse, or the start of verse 6 says. They plot in, where is it? I'll find it in a minute. It's all unfair. They plot injustice. That's right, sorry. They plot injustice. So, you know, that's what they want. They want injustice. They don't want justice. They want injustice. They do things that are unfair. And people who write or say things that are hurtful or false things, that's often what they want. They aren't interested in justice and being fair. They're just out to get people. They're not interested in truthfulness or honesty. They plot, as verse 6 says, they plot injustice. And then verse 6 ends with a little comment about human nature. So it says, surely the human mind and heart are cunning. So that reminds us that we don't need to be surprised when attacks, whatever they may be, in whatever form they may come, when they come, because that's the reality of human nature. And I guess we should all recognize that we too can act in ways like this. We all too have a human mind and heart that can be cunning. But, you know, having realized that the human nature is like this, the psalm goes on to tell us that there is hope. So there's hope for me. Hope for me, where does it come from? It comes from God. So even when things are very bad, there is hope. That's not the end of the story, because God does win. So people had been speaking such cutting and hurtful words, but suddenly they find that their words are turned back on themselves. So look at verses 7 and 8. But God will shoot at them with arrows. Suddenly they will be struck down. He'll turn their own tongues against them and bring to them to ruin, and all who see them will shake their heads in scorn. So the words that they've been using suddenly are going to be turned back on them, back on themselves. And they're found out by their own speech, and other people see them for what they really are. You know, they're found out in the end. Now, of course, we know that that isn't always what we see straight away. Eventually, that may be what happens, and we're going to see that in a minute. But sometimes, and often, that isn't the way it is it? Sometimes God's response never seems to come. We shan't help people in difficulty, and yet these attacks and the difficulties or the problems carry on. But the truth is that it will. Eventually, the result is that people will learn about God and realize all that he's done. So one day, verse 9 tells us, all mankind will fear. They will proclaim the works of God and ponder what he has done. The psalm does end, this psalm does end rather more hopefully than lots of other psalms. There are many psalms where there's a sort of similar sort of thing going on, where someone's in trouble and difficulty and crying out to God, or very depressed or anxious or something like that. And sometimes you can see that the writer does see that there's light at the end of the tunnel, but he doesn't, in the psalm, quite get there. And that may be true for us. We can put our hope in God, but we're not guaranteed that our troubles or our anxieties will go away straight away. But the last verse does point us to the real reason why we can have hope. So verse 10 refers to the righteous, and it's a promise that everyone, that all who are in the right with God, can take refuge in him and praise him. So let me read verse 10 again. Let the righteous rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him, and let all the upright in heart praise him. But the righteous there, or as the ESV translation has it, the righteous one, applies especially, of course, to one person. Verse 6 has already reminded us, as we've seen, that for all of us, the heart and mind is cunning. But there is one person, of course, who is different, one who really is righteous. And as we look to Jesus, to his perfect life, we see one who indeed was attacked. He was attacked both verbally and physically. He was falsely accused and slandered. And when his enemies thought that they'd completely destroyed him, God did the unimaginable, defeating the ultimate enemy, Satan, and death. Jesus, as you know, as I hope we know, trusted in his heavenly Father, and he was rescued. And he's our ultimate model or example of one who takes refuge in God. So I guess we'll all, at different times and in different ways, struggle with worries and concerns. We may feel under attack, but as another psalm, Psalm 118, tells us, the Lord's love endures forever. It's okay to be really honest and bring our concerns to God, to call out for help. And the Lord Jesus has shown his love and his care for us. That's a love that endures forever. I wonder if you've been enjoying the Olympics over the past 2 weeks. I certainly have. If you saw the relay, the women's 4x4 relay yesterday, you know that the American team stormed home to a massive win. And one of their athletes, Sydney McLaughlin, was someone who had won the 400-meter hurdles a few days earlier, in fact, beating her own previous world record. So she was 2 times an Olympic champion last week, in this past week. And she set a world record back in June as well. So she was the first woman ever to run 400-meter hurdles under 52 seconds. And after she beat her previous record back in June, she talked about her faith. In fact, you might, if you saw her interview, I think it was as Jeanette Quatchy interviewed her on the BBC, it was interesting. You thought, there's something about this woman, something she's saying that's very interesting, really. And it's interesting to read that she wrote after her first world record in June, she says that her faith in Christ gives her peace to know God is with her no matter the outcome. And she wrote on Instagram after that first world record that the mental strain of preparation was heavy. You know, we might think all these wonderful athletes have great time, but, you know, people have strain in all sorts of different ways. And she said, the amount of weight the Lord took off my shoulders is the reason I could run so freely yesterday. My faith was being tested all week, from bad practices to 3 false start delays to meet delay. I just kept hearing God say, just focus on me. And then she said, I no longer run for self-recognition, but to reflect his perfect will that is already set in stone. I don't deserve anything, but by grace, through faith, Jesus has given me everything. Records come and go. The glory of God is eternal. And then this week, after she beat her world record again and became the Olympic champion gold medalist in the 400-meter hurdle, she shared on social media how it was an honor to represent not only my country, but also the kingdom of God. And she said, just because I may not win every race or receive every one of my heart's desire doesn't mean that God has failed. His will is perfect. And he's prepared for me a moment such as this, that I may use the gifts he has given me to point all the attention back to him. Thank you, God. So I guess, you know, it's pretty unlikely, I guess, that any of us here are going to be an Olympic champion, an Olympic gold medal winner. But, you know, we all face, whatever our situation in life is, we all face pressures and heavy strain. And when everything or everyone seems against us, then what we need to do is do what this psalm reminds us to do, to keep coming back to the Lord for help, and to do what this psalm encourages us to do, to take refuge in him. Let's pray. Should we do that? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God in whom we can come and take refuge. Please help us as we face all sorts of different worries and struggles and anxieties in our lives, as we feel attacked in different ways or perhaps snubbed by our friends, whatever it is, Lord, help us to trust in you. Help us too to be honest with you, because you want to know how we feel. And we pray that we may put our hope in you and realize that ultimately our hope comes from knowing you and that you do love us. Please help us to do that, to take refuge in you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.